welcome back for episode, 94, 95-ish? Yeah. All right, where's the numbers guy? Anyway, I'm Ray. As you can see, I have Ryan with me.
Hello.
And brand new guest, Jenny.
Hi.
Welcome her.
Yeah.
Huge welcome.
Just give it a minute. I'm sure they're just warming up.
Yeah, of course. Of course they are. Okay, so let's get down to brass tacks. What are we talking about tonight?
Punisher.
No news. We're not talking news.
We're going to definitely talk news, but Punisher is the main topic tonight.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay. I like it. I can't wait.
Basically, all the news is Marvel, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Lots of that. Mm-hmm. And Justice League dropping 94% Monday to Monday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, China's keeping it going. They've gotten up, like, Thor Ragnarok.
Is that 190 million domestically?
But Thor Ragnarok just reached, like, 400, or no, excuse me, 800 million.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're a little
low. Yeah, no, I totally was. But because of China, Justice League has reached 400, 500 million, so bless China.
Sorry. They can have it.
Didn't like it. Not a fan.
It's not my favorite.
We're not going to get into that because I got yelled at last
year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did witness that.
Okay, I understand. Let's talk about Marvel. So, a lot of cool things have happened. Basically, all of them, Infinity War. So,
Trailer releases tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, we don't have any kind of reaction or review for that tonight, but
we could talk about the Vanity Fair covers and
not much
the pictures.
Not there, but
there was a lot of new costume changes.
Some old costumes.
It's really interesting who they decided to include and who they didn't, especially from the upcoming films like Ant-Man and Wasp and Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find it more interesting because I'm a Cap fan that Cap is back in his stealth suit. I'm wondering if maybe he didn't even have to show up for the thing and they were just using promo photos. they don't want to give away that he's Nomad or something. I don't know.
Let's just superimpose him here.
It's my favorite Captain America suit. I won't complain, but yeah, I thought that was a little, it was an odd choice.
I agree. I am completely baffled by Black Widow's hair. And not because...
Thank you, I was
too. I thought
too.
It was gray, like in the other thing we saw.
It is,
but
I didn't recognize her for a second when I saw it.
Also, her costume is way, like...
It's weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it, but...
Like, I get that she is now considered a war criminal, too. I totally understand that. I guess I'm really nervous because I don't want them to have her codename be Yelena Belova, since that is, like, her only enemy throughout her comics.
Yeah,
like,
it seems like that's probably where they're going.
I know. I want there to be, like, the Black Widow program and whatever. So,
Thor keeping the short hair. Andy's got his eyeball
back. He grew his eye back! How cool is that?
So cool.
Maybe they're just, like, not including that in that promo.
Yeah.
For people.
I mean, that was my thought, too.
You had a good theory.
But then there was an interview somewhere that said that it might be back. And so I was like, okay. So I guess nothing actually happens in the MCU.
Maybe it's
except for Thor's hair getting cut.
Eye from, like, Loki. It's not actually there. It's just an illusion.
Yeah, surely that's what it is. Because Odin did that,
Loki
right?
Loki just stands there the whole time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But Odin, he couldn't do that for Odin. He can only do it for Thor. I don't know. I wanted
it's
to
a possibility.
It's absolutely a possibility. I'm just bitter.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I want something to actually happen in the MCU that lasts.
I agree. I want somebody to stay dead. I think that's why maybe they made Odin go out the way he did in, like, sparkles and rainbows and flower petals, because they were like, well, we could bring him back. He just disintegrated.
Like Red Skull, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he just got sucked into
a portal
on the other side of the universe.
He's just going to rematerialize.
Exactly. Or they could just pay him the Transformers bucks, because I'm sure his paycheck for Transformers is bigger than the Marvel one.
Probably.
So, Feige did say that Avengers 4 is going to be a finale.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys feel about that?
I'm good with it. Let's do a full universe reboot.
I agree.
I don't think I'm ready for it.
Any particular reason why?
I don't know. I feel like I want it to keep going because we've been building up to this point with the different, you know, cycles of the universe. And, you know, it's been a decade. I guess.
Yeah.
It'll be a decade of Marvel films, and I guess that seems a bit excessive, but, you know, James Bond has been going for, you know, over a century.
You're right.
Why can't we keep it going? But again, they kind of booted him every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for something different. I mean, listen, I love Chris Evans as Cap. I love Robert Downey Jr., but it's just, of course, you know, you get to see him so many times doing the same shtick over and over again, especially Iron Man, because I love Iron Man, but it's just, there's been very little for me in terms of, like, changes of the character.
It's not that.
I just want some new blood.
I totally like the idea of the original six kind of retiring and moving on.
Yeah, but, like, continuing on the story with new characters, don't start it over.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to complete, like, do a clean reboot of everything. I think, you know, if Cap's still alive, which he's not going to be, then he'll be, like, that S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury's role, basically, mm-hmm. S.H.I.E.L.D. director, or something along those lines, or Tony Stark will take over that role. Somebody, they'll be there, I'm sure, if they're not dead.
Yeah. In this year, we're going to get Brie Larson and Evangeline Lilly suiting up to some degree. I mean, Brie's going to have a very small cameo in Avengers Infinity War, so.
They're going to win the Captain Marvel race.
Yeah.
To see who can get it out first.
Uh-huh. Pretty much. Fairly. But it would be a damn shame if those ladies had to stop. If we're done seeing Chadwick Boseman, if we're done seeing...
Oh, he's not like an OG, like... No, you know, no, they're I'm not, more worried about, like, the guys that have been doing it.
I guess I'm
like, concerned. Ant-Man, I'm not ready for Ant-Man to be gone.
Right.
Black Panther, I'm not ready for him to be gone.
We haven't even had him yet.
Like. Yeah. Barely. Yeah.
I'm more concerned that they're just going to tell these new people, like, well, you're associated with the old ones, and we're killing that off, so we're done with you too, and just... We're acquiring X-Men now, so goodbye.
Let's hope that doesn't. I mean, I'd be okay.
I would love for X-Men, like, though. Reboots of X-Men though, because I love X-Men.
And they have been so hit or miss with me. Like, I like half of them, and I hate the rest.
Yeah,
half. You like half of them?
I mean,
what are the ones that you dislike?
Oh, good. Can I name the ones I like instead?
Yes.
First Class, the X-Men, and X-Men 2, and that's about it.
Like Days of Future Past.
No. And everybody gives me that look. I did not like it. I didn't think it was good.
Well, I would also add in Logan and Deadpool.
Okay, Logan,
they're all Fox properties.
Right, but I was talking X-Men movies, the X-Men title.
I still think Days of Future Past.
A lot of people do. I'm definitely in the minority.
And there were parts of Apocalypse that I liked. Oh, it was not as good. But I liked that it gave me like a bit of nostalgia.
I know, right? I'm getting agitated already.
I'm not trying to call you out. I'm just saying that I liked the nostalgia I felt when watching Apocalypse. It was not even close to being my favorite X-Men, but I liked the nostalgia factor that I had from it.
I'm not going to dig into it.
Okay.
I'm not going to dig into it. I'm going to resist. I didn't resist last week with Derek, but I'm going to resist this week.
You don't want to fight me?
No. Not on camera.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
It seems that Chad kind of agrees that they don't want MCU to just be dead completely and get a whole new reboot. They want some new blood in it as well. So I completely agree. I don't know if a Namor film is interesting. He's just a quiet, brooding asshat. So, I mean, he's in this world, he's white Aquaman. And I mean, we have Jason Momoa. Why do I care about white Namor over here? You know? So. I don't know if a Namor film would work. I would rather see the original Avengers, the 1940s, with Cap and Bucky and Submariner and the Human Torch that was the robot. Yeah?
You just look like Red Tornado from Supergirl.
Yeah. Oh, God, that would be so bad.
Yeah.
That would be a fun film.
Well, you know that Captain America is still going to exist after the reboot. It's going to be Bucky because they've already set all that up. They've got him signed on for all the movies. So, I mean, and I'm sure they're going to give the Stark tech over to somebody else. You know, Riri Williams, I think is her name in the comic books, right? And, you know, I'm sure
it'll
continue. Yeah, I imagine it'll continue in some role. It won't be a complete. I don't think there'll be another Thor, but maybe Beta Ray Bill will come in, you know?
Yeah.
No, they're not going to do that. That'd be awesome.
I know. They hinted at him.
You got to see the statue of him or whatever.
The horse head.
Yeah.
He was already wearing the helmet, which was cool.
Won't happen.
All right, let's talk Punisher then.
There we go.
Okay, Punisher. Let's talk Punisher. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of the overall show itself?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've been kind of waiting for a good characterization of the character. And mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with some of the old characterizations, but I have preferences. Like, yeah. The Thomas Jane one, I think, was my favorite prior to this. Mm-hmm. And then when we had Punisher Warzone, I thought it was just carnage without much exploration into the character of Frank himself.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I'm glad that they tried to take this character at a different pace than a movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you, Ryan?
It might be my favorite Marvel Netflix show.
Yeah.
I mean, I went into it. I love the Punisher, right? I love John Bernthal, or I loved him in Daredevil as the Punisher. So I had a pretty good feeling about it, as long as they didn't completely Iron Fist it. you know, I was going to enjoy it a lot. I'm not saying it's the best of all of them, but I think it's probably my favorite. Daredevil season one and Punisher right up at the top for me.
That's how I ranked them.
Yeah. I don't know if I could pick one to put on top. Punisher is definitely like they're right there. And on any given day, I feel like I could swap back and forth between the two.
Yeah.
What about you, Ray?
So I liked it. I ended up liking it with more and more with each episode. I watched the first two and I was a little disappointed. I was like, this is so boring. Why is this boring? Why am I finding this boring? And I thought it was just me, but I'm not alone in it, and every episode got more and more interesting, and my favorite part is it had so many different layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, like, A plot, B plot, C plot, like Iron Fist was. Iron Fist was such a convoluted hot mess.
Iron Fist was a plot with a question mark after it, like you did with the C plot for Punisher.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Do you think there's
I
a plot?
I felt that same way about the layers, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, specifically with how Frank kind of, like, is attacking the problems with, like, Daredevil season two. He's just going after, basically, the gangs, and that was, like, the obvious thing for him to go after. But then as he kind of dug deeper, and then we got into Punisher season one, it was like, well, there was more to it than just senseless violence. There's actually people behind the scenes that set this up and people that were involved. And mm-hmm. I really liked that. It was like, you know, taking it down one pin at a time.
Absolutely. We found out about the heroin ring back in Daredevil season two. And then we find out about the illegal operation of Cerberus.
Mm-hmm.
Through this and how it's all connected and everything. And I believe for the most part it was done really well. So overall, before we get to the very end and we spoil stuff, any grades you want to give it now? If people want
to. We're going grades early?
Yeah,
we're doing grades
do it.
Right now? Oh, wow. I put it at the end of my point. Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, gosh. Like, I want to grade it, like, because, like, on my favorite list, but
do
I feel
it.
Like, I mean,
You give it a percentage?
No, probably, like, a B+, and I feel like that's being mean. Like, I really want to give it an A-, but I feel like
too.
B+ is, like, I could nitpick it if I really had to.
When it comes down to it, these last 13 hours of television that I have watched in the last 24 hours of my life.
Did you have to take like 20 minutes and just go, what just happened?
They've been some of the most compelling hours of television I've watched all year. Mm-hmm. I can't deny that. That was really interesting. Wait,
yeah. I think, yeah, like 13 hours seemed like a really long marathon
it
to run.
It always does.
but I really enjoyed it overall. There are things that I had problems with when I was watching it that I was like,
we're going to talk about that.
Can we? Yeah. Yeah. But overall, I give it like low 90s, like 93%,
94%. Not bad.
For me.
Yeah.
Because I really thought it was solid
overall.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So here's your spoiler warning now. We're going to dig in. Nothing is off the table at this point. You can pause and finish the series and then come back. Yeah. So we can either run through characters and go by them one by one, or we could talk about the things that we didn't like, be a little nitpicky.
I just want to touch on the fact about, you guys were talking about the 13 episodes. Overall, this was, I think, the first show from Marvel Netflix where it felt like it wasn't 3 or 4 filler episodes in the middle. Because pretty much every other, even like Daredevil season 1, which I loved, there's a few episodes in there it was like, okay, this seems like it's just, they're just trying to wait and work out 13 episodes. But this one, like you said, it kind of ramped up through the whole thing. So the 13 episodes it felt like 13 hours TV, but it didn't leave me bored in the middle like most of the other shows did. So I think that's a really important fact about that.
I am going to kind of disagree with you. I still believe that 13 episodes is too much for these stories. I think there's still, there's less filler in this than there was in Iron Fist. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like 10 or 11 would make a much more concise story.
That's fair. I kind of agree with that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, like, some of the things that I thought that it was just, we kept revisiting it in the show, and I was like, why? Were things like Micro's family. I mean, I mm-hmm. wanted to know what was going on with them, but I got a little bit more information than I needed. And, I don't want to, like, really downplay, like, sex, but there was a little bit too much sex in it for me than I thought was needed.
Well, it wasn't really, like, driving the story forward for the most part. Yeah. But,
have a little bit, but, like, do you remember in episode, I think it was, like, 12, when Frank was getting tortured?
And kept
having these, like, flashbacks of him and Maria? It was just a little bit too much. And I was like, let's get on with it. I want to know what's happening on, like, the actual side of reality.
Yeah. I think that was, there was a plot reason for that.
I didn't mind that part as much. Just that initial scene. And that's because they were also intertwining it with the Liebermans having sex for the first time in a year. So it was really awkward. And
they had already had a conversation
back to that conversation. Like, do you miss sex? And that was a really funny bonding moment between them. I will say, I got exhausted with how much Madani and Billy Russo went at it.
Yeah, they went at it a lot.
At one point, you can really just suggest it to me. I believe that two very attractive people are having sex. You don't have to keep showing me. So, I mean, they did that like over the course of 3 or 4 episodes. They had sexual encounters. So
I think it was kind of gratuitous Ben Barnes for all the girls that kind of fell in love with him and Prince Caspian. And
my God.
Did you forget about him? He's back.
Right.
And here's more of him.
People fell in love with his soulless eyes? Like, I don't get it. He has the weirdest, like, beady eyes that are super soulless. Him. He was obviously, like, you knew he was the bad guy just looking at him, because no good guy has, like, just completely black, you know, nothing eyes.
I'm sure
he's an attractive man.
Looking at it from a very logical standpoint.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't enamored with his beautiful hair and smooth skin and rippling pectorals, but
and the non-military haircut
he
had for some reason. It's fine.
He's a private citizen now. Like, he can grow his hair however he wants.
It was like, that way when he was in the military scenes too.
Which poses the question, does John Bernthal just like his haircut like that? Because if everybody gets to have it in the normal way.
Which I prefer, like, longer hair on him. It was sad.
I think it's a character thing. Like, he's so stuck in the military mindset and the military, like, method and everything like that. Of course he's going to do the high and tight, you know, type haircut.
Okay, so how do you guys feel about Pete Castellani and his life as a construction worker in those first 2 episodes where he gets back into the Punisher life?
I think it was a really good way to kind of ease us back into the character of Frank. And, like, this is what he's been doing with his time, because they really didn't answer that at all during the Defenders. And I think the fact that they put him in a construction setting where he's basically just a demolition man, it kind of helps us understand that he's using this as a tool to just deal with this anger and aggression every single day. That also said, like, my favorite, or one of my favorite scenes, is actually in the first episode when he's using the sledgehammer to beat out of those guys. that we're gonna kill that kid by throwing him into the concrete. I love that scene, and I didn't think I'd really like Punisher with anything but like a gun. But I was like, give him a sledgehammer.
Like the Thomas Jane movie. I mean, geez, he goes with a popsicle at one point and torture somebody. So
that's one of my favorite scenes in that movie too. It's funny, but no, I thought it was I thought it was a good way to kind of warm us back up to that character.
Any other thoughts?
I mean, I thought, I think it was a good kind of character development moment for people that don't necessarily know what the Punisher's about and everything. It just shows a guy that's so angry and hurt and broken, you know, that he has to just literally work his hands to, you know, until they're a giant blister and just hit bricks all day until he's so tired he can't do it anymore. And, you know, because, that's how he copes, is his coping mechanism. And yeah, I think that was a really great way of showing showing where he's at. I definitely agree with that. I really liked it. Although I don't really know how I feel about his weird pube beard that he had going.
No, I love the hipster beard.
I did think the hipster thing was funny.
That was good.
People keep calling me a hipster. I don't really like it. That was great.
I gotta say, the construction workers, like, were thin for me. The fact that it went over two episodes, I thought they could have done it in one. But the way he just like stepped up and saved that kid, and you know, that was kind of what I was waiting for. I was like, these guys are such tools. When are they going to get their comeuppance?
They were kind of so obviously like, I don't know. I mean, I've run into some jerks, but at a certain point, they aren't acting like a jerk all the time. You know what I mean?
Right,
these guys were just literally complete jerks. And that was it. There was nothing more to their
character.
Okay,
you're going to be playground bullies?
Yeah.
But you know how to cuss now.
Right. Like, you know how to cuss, and you're also doing illegal things for money.
Right.
But, you know.
I mean, who wasn't?
I mean, I'm not going to dog on it too bad, because it's not going to analyze extra in the movie, essentially. A glorified extra. But
I will say this. I was a little upset that we never saw that kid again.
Yeah, I kind of didn't realize that. I'd never seen him again until I, like, was looking back to the past episodes. So I thought to myself, oh, I guess he really did leave town.
Yeah.
He's gone. Okay.
I'm glad he did. You know, that is a smart character move. It's just not common. It's very Marvel to bring back the person that they save, and they become, like, the little sidekick or the puppy dog or best friend or something. So it was logical, but I...
No, nearly drowning in concrete. That'll do that to you.
That would have been a crappy way to go.
God.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay, so let's move on. We have some other characters. How do you guys feel about the group ran by Curtis?
The therapy group for
vets.
Oh, well, I thought it was really good to show that as like a side of this is like another coping mechanism that everybody just immediately kind of throws out as a gimme for people that are going through PTSD or, you know, soldiers returning home. And I liked that they included that, and that it does work for some people, but for others it really doesn't. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have the typical people in the group, the guy that's like, you know, always trying to run the group, the other guy that's always trying to pick fights, and then that one kid in the corner who's really not getting anything from it.
Right.
And I liked it, actually. I
said the character's name wrong. I typed it wrong. It's Wilson?
Wilson. Yeah, Lewis. Not yeah. Wilson.
Sorry. So, Lewis Wilson is a character that causes some contention for me personally, because I believe once his PTSD gets so out of control that it kills O'Connor, I believe his story is no longer important to the entire narrative. I know his bombing sets up a few things, but I really feel like they could have just omitted that completely and had something else set up those few situations, like Punisher running back into Karen and things like that.
Yeah.
However, Lewis, I know, is a huge reason why some people out there are having a ton of issues watching this show, because it is them, like, looking into a mirror. And I can't say that. I've never been in the military. I don't know what these men and women go through. But seeing the pain on the young kid's face was so believable. Like, he made me tear up a couple times, especially when he was out in the hole and everything. I was that's intense right there.
Well, so going back to the group.
Yeah.
The therapy group. John from Gamer Heroes, right. Another podcast that you can listen to on our Wonderful Heroes Podcast Network. Me and him talked about the show a little bit while we were both watching it, and he had a problem with like the way it started off, the first four episodes, stuff like that. He said that he thought it could have been just called generic soldier gets revenge, and nobody would have known the difference. And you know, I disagreed with that. I mean, sure, you don't really know. It's not Punisher. Very Punisher in the first few episodes, and even the therapy group and stuff like that, just kind of gives it more of a social relevance than it is to the character.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was really important. I think that the character that you're talking about, I don't remember his name, Lewis. I disagree with you on the whole bombing thing, because I think that, like Luke Cage, a lot of this was social issues and things that are relevant to our current culture. And with the Boston Marathon bombing and things like that, I think that the bombing was another way to kind of ground it in our world. And maybe, I mean, he could have run into Karen and done more time with that, sure. But I feel like they were trying to touch on as many social issues and things in the real world that are happening to keep it, the whole world feeling more grounded than, like, Iron Fist. Yeah. Where you have a floating city that shows up once every 12 years or whatever, like it.
That you don't even show.
Right, you show it at the very end, yeah. No, we get another flashback to a plane with a roof ripper. Where's our dragon? Thank you. I'm not going to get started on that.
This is about Punisher, not about Iron Fist.
Anyway, I think that does bring... I think that they were trying to bring home that this is not all the other shows.
Yeah. It definitely set itself apart.
Yeah. And I think that the bombing was really important to that. And actually, that scene was filmed really well. And it felt like I was watching news for a real bomb. Like, the mm-hmm. way it was filmed, it felt real.
The few times they used the handheld, first-person, shaky camera thing, the way they used it was so incredibly smart. You know, they used it in flashbacks, or they used it on the ops in... the woods going after Gunner and Frank. Scene. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a great scene. Really good scene. Okay, so let's talk about, to move on to the big bad, who in this season is Rollins. And we get introduced pretty soon to the whole Cerberus operation, and we find out that they were using the dead bodies of soldiers to bring heroin back into the country and then make money off of that to fund the assassination. So it was a whole big circle of awfulness. Mm-hmm. Let's hear your thoughts about that. How did Paul Schultz do as Rollins?
I think it kind of comes back to the point I made about Russo again, is that, like, if you want to surprise us, or, you know, make us guess about who the villain is, don't give him, like, one milky bad eye.
No,
you
know? They did a Blofeld thing.
we obviously know. Yeah, right. I mean, that's all it was missing, you know, or an eye patch would have been equally as obvious. But, I mean, he was great. I thought he was fine, and he was a good villain. But I feel like when they're trying to play up, like, who is this, you know, political intrigue? Who's running the show? It's like, okay, bad eye, you know, and the dude with no soul behind his eyes. Clearly, those are the two bad guys.
I'm going to disagree with you on Billy Russo. Like, if I
think he has a soul.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does have a soul. I'm just saying, like, the eyes look super, like, they're just very, very beady, I guess. I don't know. I feel mean saying it, but.
In the first few episodes, when they brought him into the picture, I did not make the connection yet that he was going to be Jigsaw at one point.
Well, unless you're a huge fan and you hear know his name pre-Jigsaw, then there's no way.
That's why they did that. And so I believe that he was going to be a good guy. And I was like, aw, look at Frank. He has two really good military buddies. And
nope.
As soon as he and Madani, like, got together and actually had sex, I was like, oh
he's
going to
be a bad guy.
Yeah. I was like, this is gonna turn.
As far as, like, villains are concerned, I actually don't think Rollins is the big bad in my mind, because I think that Rollins is kind of like a positional, like, mm-hmm. villain.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of power and he's pulling a lot of the strings and he's calling a lot of the shots. But I think that Russo is actually the big villain, and it was kind of like the entire season was building up to, like, the birth of a villain
yes.
in Russo. And I think Frank didn't really consider him to be a problem, and that betrayal that he realized on Russo's half was like, you know, a bigger villain to him than Rollins. And so, yeah, I really wasn't even like super invested in Rollins. I was just waiting. I was like, just waiting till the end of the season. I was like, are they going to make him into Jigsaw? Yeah. Or am I going to have to wait?
Yeah.
You have to wait.
I completely agree. I said the same thing. I text him right before the show ended, and I was like, I waited 13 episodes and they give me the Invisible Man. What is going on? I understand why they did it. They set themselves up for season two much better than any other Marvel show has done so far. Like, not even Daredevil set themselves up this well. So I'm excited that they have a place to go now. And I am missing that mafia aspect to Frank. So I'm hoping that this brings it in. And next season, it's Frank against Jigsaw and the mob. That would be a ton of fun for me.
The fanboy in me wants that, but then the guy that's like, listen, Ryan, you know, we want longevity in this show. We love the characters. I would want him to wait until like season three to bring him back and like just have him, he's out there establishing himself, you know, as Jigsaw and in the mafia world and everything, and have some other villain for season two and just kind of leave him on the back burner. They have a really good villain that they've already spent a season establishing. We don't need to go right into that in season two. You know what I mean? Maybe towards the end, just be like, we haven't seen him. Where is he? And then, you know, you get to see the nasty Jigsaw face, however they're going to end up doing that.
They might do that slow burn by, like, kind of hinting at, you know, him becoming Jigsaw during Daredevil Season 3, though.
Yeah, it's possible.
And then by the time Punisher 2 comes out, then it would hit the fan.
Yeah, so, maybe. I don't know. I still kind of want. I want to push for the three seasons of
all
of Punisher.
All the Punisher, please.
Yeah,
thank you.
Exactly.
I completely agree. I'm also hoping that Punisher 2 brings around more of the Netflix MCU characters. Same with Daredevil. I know right now that Iron Fist is in almost every episode of Luke Cage season 2, and that's what I want. I want growth, and I want evolution in these shows. I don't want it to be Daredevil 2 or Daredevil 3 and Jessica Jones 2. I don't want them to be so separate and only come together for their, you know, crossover season. I want it to show that
universe, you know, building.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that would be really good. I think what's also funny is that Netflix is really holding on to the character of Karen Page to try to, like, connect all of these. Like, everybody loves Karen. Oh, and Rosario Dawson's character.
Yeah. Not Claire. Punisher.
Claire. Yeah, that was the first one. Yeah.
But she wouldn't have made sense.
I knew it was not.
Well, not at all. She wouldn't have made
They couldn't have just, like, shoehorned it in, like, oh, we gotta bring him to the hospital where I know somebody, you know? It's like, come on. No. They're not gonna
gratuitous Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, exactly. I love her, but we don't need to do that, you know? It was fine. I liked Karen a lot.
I agree that Karen and Frank have chemistry. And there was, like, a couple moments where I was like, just kiss already. But that would totally mess up the character of Frank.
Yeah, that's the right I have mixed now. Feelings about it. Like, I kind of ship them a little bit. But then, on the other side, I mean, it's such a big part of his character that he just loves his wife so much and, you know, so hurting about her, you know. Do I want to see him with another woman and happy? No, not really.
Not yet.
No. I don't know. Maybe not ever. Because I feel like it's really important to the character that he has, you know, this constant of thoughts of his wife and what happened and everything. And if he doesn't have that anymore, you know, then it kind of takes away some of the character for me. Yes, I want this character to be completely unhappy all the time. I'm sorry. That's just Punisher, you know?
Yeah.
He's never happy.
I like the dynamic they have, and one of my favorite things I've seen, like, comparing the dynamic between Frank Castle and Karen, somebody compared them to Chef Gordon Ramsay. Like, Chef Gordon Ramsay with adults is Frank with everyone, just like a total hard ass. And then with Karen, it's like Chef Gordon Ramsay with kids. Like, I'm not going to leave until you stop crying and you're smiling.
That is a really good...
Until he puts a knife on their throat and says, I love killing people with knives or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's
It's like, you know what this is? This is K-bar, military issue, you know, whatever.
Just
like
took a turn.
Yeah, that got real dark all of a sudden.
No, I like that she's there to just kind of show that he's just not all 100% balls to the wall all the time, because who can keep that up?
And that makes him different from the people he is fighting, even though on paper, they are the exact same.
Yeah.
You know, they're all murderers who do really horrible things, but yeah.
Cool about it.
I do think, right. I do think that brings me to one of the things I didn't like. Like, if I really had a nitpick,
yeah, because
this
do
is
it.
Really nitpicky.
Okay, fine.
One of the complaints I would have is that they kind of made him a little too likable.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The Punisher in the comic books is like super ruthless and will do anything to get the guy, right? And this Punisher didn't feel like he would go quite that far. Like, I feel like comic book Punisher would have just started going into the CIA headquarters and shooting people until Agent Orange decided to come out and like hold hostages, that he would do all this stuff to get to Agent Orange.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have done that in the show. And I liked being able to relate to him a little bit, because like you said, it would get exhausting if he was like this all the time. But nitpicky, if you're a big Punisher fan, I feel like he's always that way in the comic books, pretty much.
You're not wrong. When he appeared in Civil War, he was only in an issue or two, but he basically brought a broken, beat-up Spider-Man to Captain America's door, and Cap's like, thanks, bye now.
And him and Captain America have a lot of really interesting run-ins. If you don't know the comic books, Punisher has a super amount of respect for Captain America and refuses to fight him.
Yeah,
he would not fight him. Cap was punching him and beating the crud out of him, and Punisher refused to fight back. And he's always had that kind of relationship with Cap. So I would love to see that.
I would kind of agree with you. Like, in a different vein of thought, that goes back to like the wasted time, or like too much time spent on certain things, like with the Lieberman family. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm watching Punisher fix a garage door.
Yeah.
Over and over. Good guy, Punisher. We need so
fixing
much
a headlight
that.
On a car that yeah. he broke because Thanks, she Punisher. Hit him.
Playing ball with the Lieberman kids.
I knew as soon as she came back a second time that they were going to have Sarah, like, make a move on him at some point. Yeah. And when that moment came, I just got really icky inside. And I was like,
yeah, but so did he.
God.
So did he.
He handled it well, but all of us were not comfortable with that.
Yeah, it was very awkward. So let's talk a little bit about Micro.
Okay.
Micro may be my favorite sidekick in any of the Marvel Netflix shows.
He's a good guy in the chair.
He is.
With like the, you know, creepy caveman beard and the robe and can't go outside. Yeah, he's a good guy in the chair.
But his story, it was so compelling. And he just got more and more interesting when, you know, he's been locked up for a year. How interesting could this guy be? You know, you're not doing very much, just sitting there eating cereal and, like, beating off, I guess. So, like, the fact that
with his horse-sized penis or whatever it says.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, a moose size. He's saying something like a moose.
That's funny.
Right. I'm going to tell you that some of my favorite favorite parts of the whole series were the interactions between Micro and Frank when he does that drunk, you know, I'm home like a moose and, like, takes his pants off. I thought that was hilarious. And then the scene where they're in the car.
The sandwich scene.
Yeah, and he's like eating tuna out of an MRE and he pulls out a huge sandwich.
I love that scene. Yeah. He's like, what the?
Yeah, that was great. But I feel like Frank didn't want to complain about it really because, you know, he's Frank Castle, right? The Punisher. He's not going to complain about eating an MRE. But
how, like, just utterly heartbreaking is that moment where he finds Frank bleeding out, almost dead, and he's like, call me a piece of shit, call me a piece of shit. And I'm like, do it, call him that. Like,
and everybody wakes up and he's like, you scary, beautiful man. I'm like, that's all of us right now.
Right. Stop.
I'm helping Derek out.
No, it was a fantastic scene.
For me, like, it was heartbreaking, and I know I said that I wanted more of, like, Punisher being mean, but when you go back to the Lieberman family, when he's watching the cameras and sees his son hit his daughter, and you're like, how would you feel as a parent if you couldn't go do anything because you'd be putting their life at risk, but then you see that happen.
See, that was important. Yeah. That was like really
that was one of the things that should have been there.
Yeah.
But then Frank's subsequent reaction with the, like, that part where he had the knife and he, like, gets the kid and then the kid starts crying. I actually thought that was, like, I feel like Punisher might actually do that. That was good. It was
Punisher,
like,
parenting.
When he's, like, playing a ball with the kid, it's like, okay.
That
whole
little situation was great. When I say cutting some of the Lieberman scenes, I mean, like, the 5 scenes beforehand where he just goes over there and watches her drink wine. Like, There's a lot of that.
Yes, that
we
one.
Didn't need. There's probably a lot of the O'Connor stuff that we didn't need. I personally don't need another fat white guy telling me about his gun rights. I'm good with that.
I thought that was important, again, for the social commentary aspect. I mean, the thing is, one thing I thought
so
they did...
So much of it, like, I get that's his character.
It bothered me in Luke Cage. It did not bother me as much in this show. Okay. I don't know why. Maybe it's me being a hypocrite. But I thought that they were showing so much gun stuff that they needed something to offset that, you know, they needed things that were gonna like, they needed
That's
to have
totally
those discussions.
Fair.
And I think they did a really good job of balancing one side of the argument versus the other side of the argument, because
didn't Marvel have
everybody
to have,
has an opinion.
Have to come up with like a PSA or something about guns after the first Punisher came out?
After the one in the 80s?
No, not the Dolph Lundgren, the Thomas Jane.
Oh, that was the first
Punisher,
so I was just...
No, you're totally right. I forget about it because...
I forget about it too, until Chris reminded me. I was like, shit.
It's an inferior movie.
The Skull Daggers? Come on.
Dolph is fantastic.
Whatever.
In everything I've ever seen him in.
Except for that? You liked him as He-Man?
Yeah. I did. Dolph Lundgren should play He-Man tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree with you on that point. I don't know about the PSA thing. I haven't heard anything about it. It wouldn't surprise me.
But you're right. That's a good point, and I hadn't thought about it. They do need something to counteract and show that just because this one person and maybe a few others can handle owning a gun doesn't mean everybody should, and that people like Lewis and O'Connor probably shouldn't have weapons on them at all times because they are definitely unstable people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was important to present both sides of the argument, and that mm-hmm. him being that way kind of gave way for somebody else to make the argument that maybe we should have tighter restrictions for guns or things like that. So I think that they thought it was important to show both sides of the argument and not play favorites to one side just because their main character is a guy.
Well,
a good guy
also,
with a gun that also kills a lot of people.
That
yeah.
also contributes
good
to the whole reason.
Very
yeah,
loose
well, yeah, I was
term.
Just, that's a social term that I, you know, a lot of the gun enthusiasts
right.
use, and that's why I use that. But
I'm wondering, do you guys consider the Punisher to be a hero?
No.
Absolutely.
Never have.
Okay. Well,
he's a gray, I mean, I would say anti-hero, gray, but gray character. He does the right thing, but has methods that are probably the wrong way of doing it.
Yeah.
I think the character probably started out that way in the 70s when he first came out, but...
Yeah. The show made him out to be more of a hero, I think, than he is in the comic books. I think if I was basing it just on the show, then I would say he's a hero.
In the comic books, he's had a huge turn to the dark side.
Yeah.
Throughout the...
Well, he literally turned into Frankenstein at one point.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah, Frankencastle.
That's true. So we haven't really talked about Madani and
Stein.
Oh,
I have something I have to say about Madani. I'm curious if you guys agree with me.
Petty.
And it's completely petty. She is a close talker, and it bothered me so much. When she was talking to the other agents, it was like she was going to make out with everybody because she was, like, right here talking to him. And I was like, is she going to, like, kiss her partner? What's going on here? But then it never happened. So I just realized through watching the show that she just really likes talking to people really closely. I don't think it's a character choice. I think that's just the way the actress
Maybe
is.
Maybe it's a cultural thing.
I don't know, but it bothered
me. My space is our space.
I hate people being in my bubble, so it really bothered me. It bothered me a lot.
Copped it with her face.
Anyway, I know it's very petty, but
it's fine.
Doc Rev agreed with me because I talked to him about it after I watched the first few episodes, so I'm sure he'll chime in chat at some point. But
I complained about Frank's hair earlier. I'm going to complain about Madani. She had very 80s hair.
Yeah, I was like...
So
he's like,
I liked her hair. Maybe that's why.
I liked
I don't
it
know.
Too, but at other times I was like, just a little shorter. Or longer. This in between. Yeah. It's like, it's a little weird.
If she had been wearing leg warmers, I would have been in. Yeah.
That
was
been
my
nice.
New Marvel
like
crush right there.
Haley
Atwell, who?
That's what I got.
Or a yellow pantsuit.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that would have been okay
suit,
too.
Like,
yeah, if she
like
had a camera
April.
And just a yellow pantsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be good with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so can we all agree that Stein's death, while completely necessary to the story, was absolutely horrifying and sad.
A lot of the death
yeah.
in
well,
it was horrifying.
Every time that Billy Russo like took out that hidden knife,
yeah.
I was just like, "Oh Jesus!"
Yeah.
like it's a horrible thing because you know, you can't defend yourself from that. It just comes up and it's like shank right in
mm-hmm.
the face. So.
Well, Stein made it to episode 8, and I totally like when I see a Marvel Netflix show, I can get pretty good at guessing which side characters aren't going to make it throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he was going to be one of them, but he made it past the halfway mark. So I was like, maybe he's going to pull through. Maybe this is going to be it. And, oh, God. Like,
no.
That actor made that death scene so sad for me. It was the first time
and I... And then the scene right after where she's, like, getting the blood scrubbed off her by the guy that murdered.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That gave me such...
And she was just, like, catatonic.
Did you know that scene and also the scene where Frank is tied up to the chair where he's like dripping blood and Russo's rubbing it, like wiping it from his face. He was trying to portray the exact same thing, the exact same like,
I get it.
I'm being comforting, but just know you're probably going to die.
Yeah.
And it's like, thanks for wiping my face, but you're still really creepy.
Yeah. He did get creepier and creepier in every episode.
Oh, and the scene with his mom. I think that was his mom.
In yeah, the hospital his first bed. Mom.
Yes. That was...
That was messed up.
Like, I wanted to, like, gag watching that.
Uh-huh.
Like, ugh. And then
as soon as he went to touch her mouth, I was like, no.
No.
No, that can't
no.
be
No. Do not want.
This is not going to go well.
Yeah.
No, the actor who played Sam Stein, Michael Nathanson, did one of the most compelling death scenes I've seen in a long time. And Madani was right. She says it. She was like, he just looked shocked. And I was like, Yeah, he did.
I thought he was gonna like write Russo in blood. I was like, come on, that would have been. I'm so glad they didn't do that.
Yeah,
but
I'm glad he couldn't. Yeah, I mean, he was a trained soldier, so he should have known that like he can't leave anyway for the guy to.
Yeah, that's why he stabbed him in the throat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he had to. That was
cut the larynx.
I thought that was important.
I was not emotionally attached to him at first, but you're right. Like when he died, I was like, oh.
Yeah, well, the way it affected Madani was, because, I mean, at that point, you'd gotten a lot more Madani, and mm-hmm. I feel like we were more attached to her as a character.
It was her second partner she had lost in, like, a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's gotta hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so we're kind of out of characters. We could talk a little bit about the Karen Page stuff a bit more.
Another thing that John told me from Gamer Heroes, check it out on the Heroes Podcast Network. You're welcome, Derek. That's $5 you owe me now. He said that he didn't really like that the show didn't feel connected to the rest of the Netflix shows.
I don't really care about that.
I don't care about that.
I was actually thought that was okay. Like, I thought that was good, a good move. Because if they had shoved Daredevil in there or something, that would have been way, it would have taken you out of the show.
Karen was the only one that made sense to me.
If they threw something with, like, the hand in there, I would have turned off my television.
I don't know if I would have turned it off, to be honest with you, but it would have been disappointing. Yeah, I mean... Karen was, she was in a fair amount of the show, like,
wasn't it Brad episodes. Who told us that it was pretty much a glorified cameo, but it turned out she was in four episodes.
And she had a pretty important role, you know?
Absolutely. In episode 10, it was like her episode, so I didn't feel
and
like she was a cameo.
Speaking of that episode, Rachel and I talked earlier, I think that's my favorite of the series.
Man. That's my favorite too! Yeah.
It was so good, the storytelling, so
I'm fairly
unique.
Certain that's the episode, the reason why they decided to postpone it.
That's too. Fair.
Yeah.
Probably.
One. Yeah. But it's really good.
Yeah.
And I like that they did it in a way that it was like the end of the day and then they went back to individual viewpoints to kind of review the day of what had happened. And just comparing, like, I forget that politician's name. Ori?
Okay. Yeah, Senator Ori.
Senator Ori, when they do his perspective compared to Karen's, I was just laughing.
So yeah, when they were doing his perspective, I was like, this did not happen. There's no way it happened like this. Because at that point, maybe I'm just dense, but I hadn't figured out that that's what they were doing with the episode, and they were going through everything. Because I think his was the first viewpoint that you saw it happen. So I was like, why would Frank have done it that way? It doesn't make any sense. And then, obviously, as the episode went on, it was, oh, okay. The guy was just telling a little white lie.
Oh, a lot of white lies.
A lot of little white lies. It was probably a big white lie.
He was stressed, guys.
I'm sure that's what it was. Yeah, that was a great episode. I thought it was a really unique way of telling a story.
That
was something
favorite.
I liked about the whole thing, the whole show, was that it, like, a lot of the things, they were different ways of telling the story, and it all felt very grounded, which I really like for the other Netflix shows.
Yeah. My second favorite episode was the one with the firefight in the woods and meeting Gunner and finding out that he was the one that recorded, and they did the first-hand perspective with the body cams and
that was another very creative way of filming a scene and with the drones having micro really being assisting him, but with the drone camera, I thought all that was very cool. I really liked that whole scene also.
They never did tricks just for the sake of tricks. They always explained them, like the body cams, like the drones, like the perspectives.
And I did like that Frank, by the end, realized that there were cameras on him, because, I mean, that should have been something he picked up on immediately, and you know, it's kind of spoken to the camera. I thought that was really important.
Absolutely.
I also think another thing they handled really well was, like, injuries in the show, and how much of a toll it can take on someone, and how many times people almost died, and you know, how long it takes for somebody to bleed out before they just really can't go on anymore. And, because there's so many things, so many movies or shows that are, it's like they've taken like 16 bullets and you know, lost this foot, but they're still going.
I was really impressed by the makeup art in this show, especially at the very end when Madani takes the shot to the head, and it does just graze her, but she's unconscious, and she wakes up, her whole face is bruised.
Yeah, that was
incredibly smart. Why was episode 12 hard for you to watch? See Will Royce.
Oh, what? Yeah, that's Chris.
Yeah.
Well, he and I were actually talking about episode 12 in relation to the juxtaposition of the carousel. And the use of the carousel as the way to turn Billy Russo into
Jigsaw,
because in the comics he just gets kicked through a window, and
in
Warzone it's basically like this glass shredder recycling thing that he gets kicked into, and I was like, eh. But the fact that he used the carousel and like pushed his face into the mirror and it sat.
Oh my god, the sound it makes when he drags his face down! I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel pain through a screen very often, but there was a couple times in the show, and that was one of them, where I was like, oh my gosh, and it still like makes me cringe to think about it, because man, that was funky.
That was hard.
That was funky.
But I was glad that they used that instead of just a basic glass, because it was using something, kind of bringing it full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we started with the carousel, and then we're pretty much closing up all these knots, like Billy was the final knot.
And they show the flashback where he was at
the carousel with his family. Yeah. And I was like,
yeah, absolutely. But they start it off with him catching a bullet in his mouth, and then he spits it out, and
it's like, oh, Lord.
I want to counterpoint Chris here in chat, who said that Frank should have died from blood loss. Okay. People should have holes punched through them by Captain America, because they're just normal people, and he can kick cars, and he also kicks people. The thing about the Punisher is, even in the comic books, is that he's not called the Punisher. I mean, he is called the Punisher because it punishes people, but he can take a lot of punishment.
Yeah.
He's constantly getting the crap kicked out of him. I mean, that's look true. At Daredevil. That dude never was healed in Daredevil. He always had a black eye and cuts on his face. And
always. Else.
Yeah.
That's his thing. It's like, he can bleed and bleed and bleed, and his internal willpower.
Organs, what are those?
Like, yeah, his willpower pushes him through because he has to get the job done.
They
part
push
of his character.
Him through this limit. The Thomas Jane, the Ray Stevenson Punishers, like, they took some bullets here and there.
I mean,
they
Thomas got, Jane with the like, with the Russian was pretty brutal.
That
was,
yeah,
that, well, let's face it, that was the only brutal part of it.
True.
You know, he pretty much walked out of that entire film unscathed.
Yeah.
And he didn't in this. Frank Castle took beatings after beatings. Almost in every episode, he was defeated at some point, which I think that's why he comes out looking better than the Punisher actually should. It's because he overcame so much to finally, I guess, win out.
Yeah.
If you can call that winning.
I think it's winning.
Yeah?
Yeah,
I mean, as
I
long
do.
As you're the one standing at the end and the guy you want to beat is not standing, I think you win.
I think he finally got, like, an answer.
Yeah.
All of his questions answered, which is maybe, you know, Russo didn't die. And you can't say, like, dying tied it up, but I think he got the answers he needed, and that's what kind of...
There's one man standing and one man laying down on the ground, and, I mean, Punisher was barely standing, but, you know, he was still alive. I don't think that... I mean, I think that's a very important part of the character, is he can just take a crap ton of hits and a crap ton of beatings and stabbings and gunshots. I mean, one scene we haven't talked about that I really want to touch on just real
Let's
quick
do it.
Is
yeah.
the one when Frank knows they're coming into the basement, and so he sets up guns in specific places. I think it's really good. You finally got to kind of see the tactical side of the Punisher and
Absolutely.
What he can do with prep and the like gunpowder and the light bulb, and you know,
loved that.
Yeah, the big gun, the machine gun.
It's
like Kevin McAllister grew up to be Frank.
I don't think he shrapnel glass into people in Home Alone.
Head cannon.
Explosive glass.
He did do that.
Yeah. I think Kevin McAllister ripped off the Punisher
a
little bit.
Just a little bit more extreme version of Home Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that
I thought that scene was
great.
Really good. Yeah. And he literally was just taking bullets. I mean, granted, he was wearing a bulletproof vest. But, I mean, in reality, if you get shot and you're wearing a bulletproof vest,
that
you're
hurts,
still
like,
going to get knocked
yeah,
over.
You can have a ton of
like,
bruises.
You can
oh,
break
yeah. ribs and, yeah sternum and all yeah. that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, and he just didn't react because he's so fueled by the anger and the rage and the willpower to just get the job done. And that's pretty much what it is through the whole series. He has enough in him to finish the job, and then he just collapses or whatever. He finishes everything he sets up to do other than, I guess, well, I guess he doesn't want to kill Jigsaw at the end. He wants to just,
I think he wants him to live with it.
Yeah, live with the scarred up face and everything. And he says that. So he accomplished his mission there too, but he just pushes through every time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to the character and why he didn't die in episode 12. He doesn't. He just has to finish it.
C. Will Royce just said, who would win with more prep time, Frank or
on.
Kevin?
Kevin has no feet for shooting or anything.
I feel like it might end up being Kevin because Kevin would kill an adult and Frank would not kill a child.
I think Frank would kill a child.
Yeah. Is it Christmas time? Is he in New York?
These are all very important questions.
There's variables.
Frank would just
know.
Blow up the building.
Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah, I think that Frank's code would stop him. He'd be like,
it's possible.
It's a kid. Let's go play ball.
Yeah, but Kevin couldn't kill him anyway because Frank doesn't die.
Yeah, yeah that's
so,
true.
You
Kevin's
know.
Clever as hell.
This is a ridiculous argument.
Yeah,
thank you very much, Will Royce. Let's see. Anything else that we haven't touched on?
I'm
any other,
to think,
like,
I'm
small
sure there's stuff that I don't know.
I personally, and this is the Christian Bale Batman argument, I personally didn't like the voice all the time.
The, like, guttural scream every time he goes into Punisher mode.
Yeah, that
was a little weird.
It wasn't just Punisher mode. He used it in Frank Castle talking to Micro 2 minutes away from him, kind of.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I got a little annoyed with that. I was like, stop gargling marbles. It's time to just talk normally.
I was okay with it because it's just how...
I got used to it.
Yeah, that's how Bernthal thinks the character would be in reality.
You're right.
And maybe it is. I don't know. I don't scream like that when I get angry.
Similar
but...
thing to Shane in Walking Dead. He didn't talk like that all the time, but it, definitely the part where he and Rick went up against each other over the zombies in the barn. Like that. That was
he didn't rub his head and go, let me ask you something, Rick. You know, there's none of that. But there's a couple parts where I was like, could go either way.
I'm trying to think of anything else I wanted to talk. I can't think of anything.
There was one scene that I thought, like, in the moment, I didn't really get why it was in there, but then after I got to think about it. So when the kid, that PTSD kid, what was
Lewis,
it?
Yeah.
Lewis.
Not Lewis.
When he goes into the apartment after killing the Anvil agent.
Yeah.
And, like, the birds, when he opens the cage and, like, points it, I was like, what's even the point with this? But I think the point was that it was... you can give a person freedom, and that doesn't necessarily mean they'll want to leave their cage. And because his whole point was that he wanted to show
way more symbolism than I read into it. I just thought, well, he killed their owners, and he doesn't want them to just die.
Right, that's what I thought at first. But I think that a lot of the point of his character was that he was trying to break people out of this like cage that they're in, and make them realize that there's a bigger picture to what's going on. And, because he thought he was trying to be like the Punisher, you know, and he was kind of inspired by things Punisher did, unfortunately for Frank. But I think that was what they meant with that scene. Cause I don't think he would care. I don't think they were trying to humanize him so much to just like let the birds go.
Yeah.
You know, that would be, if that was all they meant by that, I would be really disappointed. But I feel like that was definitely what they were trying to do and show that not everybody wants or will, you know, accept what reality is presented in front of them. I think maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I think
it's
that
possible.
That was
it was
what
definitely
they were going
symbolism
for
I didn't pick up at the time, but that does not mean that it wasn't supposed to be there.
I didn't
picked up on
the
fact that
either.
He was frustrated that they weren't like getting out of the cage and that.
Well, he was frustrated that people weren't siding with him.
The same
also.
Symbolism.
So I feel
like
yeah, that's
people
where...
weren't getting it. Like I am on a crusade and I am actually helping like everyone, and it's like, well, maybe we didn't want you to make a pressure cooker bomb, and shoot up a hotel. And he's angry that people misunderstand him.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think that was an important scene. And I didn't really get it at the time, but I'm glad they left it in there.
Absolutely.
Get that.
So, the entire series ends with Punisher in group saying that he's, for the first time in his life, he no longer has a war to fight. And I thought that might be the most poignant way any of the shows have ended so far.
Yeah, I loved it.
It didn't seem like they weren't concerned with setting up season two at that point. Like, obviously with Jigsaw.
Like, that's all the setup they need, in my opinion, is they have a villain ready to go in their back pocket should Netflix approve it.
Well, with, like, Defenders, they had to show, you know, Matt, like, laying in a nun's, you know, thing, a nurse thing. A nunnery. And,
Where is this mysterious nunnery?
Right. Yeah, it's in the middle of Hell's Kitchen, apparently. They pull people out of holes.
I'm really hoping the nuns did. Like, 10 nuns went and picked him and Elektra up, and they're just chilling.
But, I mean, they had to do that. That wasn't a great... That was a way they did end the show. It wasn't a good way to do it. I mean, you knew they were going to kill him. Yeah. But I think, that's the most recent one I've watched, other than this. So
I rewatched that in preparation for Punisher.
Oh, wow. Just in case?
I rewatched Daredevil season one and two, and then Defenders, just because I really wanted to pick up on anything that I would need for Punisher.
They brought back the stuff that I thought was important. Karen was very important to Frank, and, you know, Trick was in it again. He makes his sixth appearance.
Something like that,
yeah. And the cop from Hell's Kitchen.
And Stan Lee is on a poster again.
Yes.
In the 13th episode.
Yes.
Oh, one other thing that they didn't do in the Punisher season, they did in Daredevil, that I thought was kind of annoying, was that in Daredevil, they showed his hand-to-hand skills. He was, like, able to beat Daredevil in a fist fight, probably because Daredevil didn't think it would happen that way, but he didn't really get, like, it was all guns and knives all the time in this one, so I don't think he really got to show off the hand-to-hand stuff, which is kind of one of my favorite things. But I mean, that wasn't that really was like fighting skills. That was just like popping grapes, you know?
I'm not gonna lie, I thought we were going to see it, because at one point on the carousel, Billy disarms him, and he has the knife, and Frank just puts up his fist, and I was like, oh man, we're gonna go.
Here we go.
And, I mean, kinda, he got that knife away pretty fast, and the face went into the glass like 5 seconds later.
But it wasn't like the Daredevil fight, I really liked the fight between Punisher and Daredevil, and, you know, I don't want to see them fight in Punisher.
No.
It would have been completely ridiculous. But it would have been nice to see somebody that would challenge him on that level.
Mm-hmm. There's also one other thing I want to see in season two. They keep, like, talking about some type of, like, dark underpast of Karen. And, we get hints of it with the fact that she saw some type of, like, file that Ben had left for her, and it was on her, and it was about some accident where a teenager got killed, and then the fact that she's very pro-gun, and she keeps mentioning, like, you know, I just learned to use this.
Well, I think the pro-gun thing was from her killing Wesley in season one,
But she even said, but when she killed Wesley, what makes you think this is the first time I've held a gun?
That's true.
And she does say that, but I mean, I felt like at the time that was more like she's just trying to intimidate him. Mm-hmm. You know,
I want to know if there's some more there.
You could totally be right. Yeah, I don't know.
I agree.
In the comics, she has a really weird story, so.
I know, she
Thank
ends
you,
up being.
Kevin Smith. That's she all your fault.
Ends up becoming a prostitute, correct?
And a drug addict, and she gets AIDS, and she dies.
Yeah,
please
don't
let that happen. Please,
it's a weird story.
But one of my favorite moments between her and Daredevil existed in that Kevin Smith run where he made her go crazy, and it was a flashback after she had passed away, and Daredevil said that if he ever had a child with her, he would quit because he's only a low-level hero in New York, whereas, you know, the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man can easily cover his territory. And I was like, that's a really good moment for him. And it sucks that it happened at Karen's expense. But, you know, she was yet another victim to the woman in the fridge trope.
Indeed.
Indeed. All right, so we're a little over. Let's plug our stuff and head on out.
I could have talked for another 30 more minutes.
We're
not going to pull a Justice League on this one, okay?
Let's talk about the breakfast.
Oh my god.
Those eggs looked a little dry. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right, so, that was it. That was our podcast on The Punisher. Thank you very much for joining us. We had kind of a lively chat, so thank you guys. A lot of guys talking to us. That was nice.
Thanks.
Next week, we are having our second annual Screen Heroes Awards or Heroes Podcast Awards, whatever you want to call it. But it's an award show where we give out fake awards to really cool things that happened this year. And we give out real awards to everybody who has been voting throughout the past
not
2 months.
Not everybody, but everybody has a chance.
Everybody has a chance.
You're
totally
not
going right.
to get an award just because, necessarily
no, you're right.
just because you voted.
You can go to our Facebook page or Instagram at Heroes Podcast and vote on every single one of the options. We have 30 categories, I believe, and
don't look at me. I don't. Yeah. You know way better than I
we
do.
We have 30 categories, so you have 30 chances to win. You can. Derek wants you to drop us a review on iTunes or follow us at Heroes Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, and Tumblr.
Can I name drop as well?
Yeah, do your thing.
Please follow Not the Wonder Twins on Facebook or Instagram.
Do it.
Do cosplay stuff.
Do it. Follow Jenny and Chris. Not the Wonder Twins.
Thank you.
Follow Buster Props. Buy your
You're
props.
Already following Buster Props. Let's get real.
I am, yeah.
Well, no, I mean all our viewers
no,
are.
No, I am.
Well, of course you are, yeah. You're obligated to as my friend.
Absolutely.
So.
And as someone who's bought your stuff before,
that's
it totally makes sense.
That's true.
So that leads me to one other thing. Jenny, are you free to join us next week and to be on
No
the
pressure.
Show?
No pressure. We haven't brought this up before.
I think so. Did you ask Chris to help host? Because
Present. We're all presenting.
Present. Yeah. Yes. I'm.
We're asking all of our previous guests to return and come back for a reunion.
I think I should be able to do that.
We'd love to have you. And I promise not to pair you with Chris. If
oh,
we
yeah.
To.
Can I request to not be paired with Chris? Chris is going to be presenting by himself.
No, I will be paired with my brother.
I'll present with
We
Chris
are
too.
Not the Wonder Fine. Twins. We got this.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so very much, guys. Thanks for joining us. We will see you all next week. Bye.